This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Here with reaction from Circa.com, Sarah Carter, President Trump's attorney, from the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, Fox News anchor, attorney, Greg Jarrett. Sarah, let's start with your big breaking story, Ben Rhodes, and on top of all the other Obama officials, this keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, it keeps expanding, Sean. So what we've seen is first it was Susan Rice, National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Then we saw it was UN Ambassador, you know, Samantha Power. Then it became CIA Director John Brennan. And now it's expanded to Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, who worked very closely with Obama and Susan Rice. So this is really important because what they're asking for is the full year from January 2016 up until January 20th, 2016. They want to know how many times Ben Rhodes unmasked Americans, what was he looking at, and for what purpose and why. Because if it wasn't dealing with specific national security issues, that becomes a very serious problem. And it also shows what they've been discovering, apparently and allegedly, that they weren't just looking at national
security
issues.
What was the increase in unmasking in since 2011, and Clapper eased those rules and Obama eased those rules?
So since 2011, what we've seen is over a 320% increase in unmaskings. In the last year, and specifically after the election, Sean, after the election, that increased exponentially. That increased exponentially without explanation. And remember, when those rules were relaxed, they could basically just sign off. They didn't have to file 80 pages like an analyst would at the CIA. It was just a need to know.
I got to ask you about Robert Mueller. You have pointed out, we'll put them on the screen, the laws, Trent Franks is the only congressman now who's picked up on all of you said, and he's picked up on real laws that he's breaking if he stays in that position. What are these, felonies? Are they misdemeanors? What are they?
Well, no, but you basically get fired if you violate this law, because it's a special counsel law that says if you have a conflict of interest, you shall not serve. And there it is.
Shall not.
It's mandatory language. It's not optional. It's not discretionary. And, you know, in my columns, as I pointed out the conflict of interest, I haven't argued that there should be no special prosecutor. Instead, it's Robert Mueller who's the wrong special prosecutor because of his close relationship, as you point out in your monologue, with Comey. And it's even worse than that. Mueller's boss, Rod Rosenstein, also has a disqualifying conflict of interest because he, too, is a witness in the case, having authored the memo for the firing of James Comey. And yet neither of these individuals have any respect for the law. They're ignoring it deliberately. And finally now, you know, members of the House Judiciary Committee saying, wait a minute, this man should resign. And I think it's gaining strength.
Let me ask big picture stuff, if I can, Jay Sekulow. And I know your position, you probably don't want to talk about specifics. But if I mention Ukraine and Uranium One and deleting emails and Bleachbit and hammer smashing and destroying, in the case of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, hard drives, and then I mention unmasking and leaking intelligence and Comey and the general counsel of the FBI, wow. How is it? Yep. Is it not being discussed in many places besides here?
Hopefully it's not being discussed because it's being thoroughly investigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Justice, and they impaneled a grand jury to investigate this, and we wouldn't know. So that, you could be hopeful on that. I can't say that that's happening. I have no knowledge of that. But if you look at the whole scenario you just laid out, and especially now with the unmasking situation, I mean, what is the justification that is going to be put forward by, for instance, the previous administration for having Samantha Powers, the U.N. ambassador, having access to unmasking? I mean, what is the? There's no possible justification for this. And what is the justification for a 360% increase in the number of American citizens were unmasked? What's the justification for the change in the rules that were in existence for decades? What was the justification for the change of the rules of sharing of information to other agencies going from 3 to 17 days before the Obama administration leaves office? What is the justification for any of this? So if you look at it rationally, you look at it legally, and you look at what's happening here, there was a major play within the national security apparatus that was exposing Americans to surveillance. That is what it appears to be here. And the justification for this, I think they're going to be hard-pressed to put one forward.
All right, stay right there. We're going to have more with Sarah, Craig, Jay, F.
A great president once said, the 9 most feared words in the English language. I am from the government and I'm here to help. Adequacy of loss absorbing capacity. You call that help? That's the mandate approved by the G20. The banks can steal your money. Well, they can't steal your gold and silver that you fully control. You can have it delivered into an IRA at a depository under lock and key, where you can hide it, where no one can find it, not even your wife.
What?
Sorry, honey. Your CDs, money market accounts, and savings accounts are all at risk. Call GSI Exchange at 800-474-9159. We have 75 years of market experience. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 800-474-9159. Call now and get a free bank failure survival guide. 800-474-9159.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That remains our mission. Yes, we got to get back on track. Maybe we can do something about this debt. Maybe we can get more people back to work. Have a more efficient government. I mean, when you consider all the money we're paying for it, you wonder, Liz Peek, if it's worth it all, right?
Well, some people would challenge where a lot of the federal money goes, that's for sure. And, you know, that's something that the Republicans in the Senate are trying to combat. I mean, they've gotten tremendous amount of abuse for trying to rein in the growth of Medicaid, mm-hmm. with Democrats acting like they're slashing funding for Medicaid. Of course, that's just not at all true. What they have done is try to limit the growth per employee going forward into the future. And you know what? It's now the third largest part of the federal government. It's up to about 10% of our federal spending, and it's going nowhere but up under the current regime. So it has to be changed. I think it's an incredible sign of timidity, cowardice, whatever you, political cowardice, that nobody will agree to that. On the Democratic side of the aisle, they know better, and they know that this is unsustainable. But,
exactly.
You know, unfortunately, no one really tells the truth very much anymore.
Yeah, there's several things that gall me about this whole process. You know, here are the Democrats saying, well, look at the Republicans that have been complaining about this for 7 years. And hold on and go, well, wait a minute. You guys have been around it up close and personal for 7 years. What did you do to fix the problem? You knew we were heading into a train wreck here. And you knew this brick wall was coming. And so what did you do?
I think, actually, if you look at what's happened to Obamacare, there have been 70 major fixes to it since it came on board. And I think that the reason that's interesting is everyone is acting like the Senate bill is sort of the final word. Like once that's passed, you know, there can never be any improvements. That's simply not true. I mean, what Republicans need to do, I think, and I know this is sort of a simple-minded approach, is to pass something. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be the biggest, best, boldest, most wonderful bill ever. It needs to be the end of Obamacare. And what do we mean by that, really? Rand Paul says that means basically taking federal involvement in health care spending totally off the table. That's just not going to happen. I mean, I think we can all agree that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it also means adding a lot more flexibility, choice, and free market ideas to a system that arguably is failing, as you point out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is, to me, is an exciting component, and I find myself, you know, almost sounding a little, you know, like Nancy Pelosi when she says, well, you got to pass it to find out what's in it. And I think that when you open up the state lines and you start allowing these insurance companies to run ads, I mean, I'm seeing a whole new industry, you know, just come alive on, you know, by way of advertising and marketing, where they're starting to, you know, promote their insurance plans across the country, then I think we're going to realize, you know, competition, how it always works in our country, that we will get more for less. It could be quite the revolutionary and positive thing that could take place here, but we're not going to know it, and it's something the CBO can't, you know, can't measure at this point, can they?
No, and you know, honestly, it makes me kind of crazy that Congress, both sides of the aisle, pay such obeisance to the CBO. If you go back, as I did recently in a column, and look what the CBO projected for Obamacare, they got everything wrong by a factor of 50%, if not 100%.
Wow.
Those are pretty big margins of error, and I'm not making that up. I mean, the numbers are there. And I think to pretend that the CBO can really anticipate the consequences and unintended consequences of legislation is complete balderdash. And if you remember, when Obama was having trouble with the CBO forecasting, among other things, a lot of jobs lost because of Obamacare in 2009-2010, he invited Doug Elmendorf, who ran the CBO at that point, over to have a little talk in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know? The numbers got a little bit better because I think Obama probably said to him, look, this is in the nation's good. You're going to have to tweak your forecast. Well, you know what? Trump needs to get the current guy over to the White House. He's a Republican appointee,
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, you know, this isn't working, and Obamacare really isn't working, and you guys really screwed up the forecast here. You got to work with us and,
exactly.
and, you know, do a little pressure. Put a little pressure on these
well,
guys.
Well, you and I coming from the business world, Liz, I mean, if we were ever off, you know, in management
yeah.
positions by 50%, we'd be gone.
You know, it really is true. And yet there is this, well, I mean, it depends which side you're on, right? Now the mm-hmm. Democrats act like the CBO knows absolutely everything because mm-hmm. the CBO is coming out with pretty grim-looking numbers on the Health Care Act that the Senate's trying to pass. Look, I think that the Health Care Act that's come up from the Senate is kind of a dodgy bill. I don't think it's going to be great. But, again, it does include $190 billion of entitlement reform, which we desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
So deficits are not on the front page right now. They will be. And the reason they will be is because all of the temporary slowdown in the acceleration in federal spending, whether it's from the sequester or various things that the government did, sort of sleights of hand, those are running out. And we are back pretty soon to trillion-dollar deficits. And I think Americans are going to be really alarmed by that.
Well, they need somebody who can really champion that cause
yeah.
in terms of entitlement reform, and I'm not hearing it right now, maybe because we're still dealing in too much of the minutia. Liz, this opioid allowance, this allocation, we've been talking about that this morning. I don't know, what, $20, $40 billion? I mean,
45, isn't it?
Yeah, something, some crazy number there. You know, the thing that I have a problem with this is that, you know, this is something that Big Pharma kind of helped create.
Yeah.
I see. And then we're bailing Big Pharma out because and what's going to happen is that later on down the road, probably the Democrats, not the Republicans, if they, you know, have the nerve to come up against Big Pharma, because we know that they're in everybody's pocket so deep. But if they take on Big Pharma and do some sort of big class action suit, you know, for the injury of all those that have become opioid addicted, then there's going to be some big reward, and most of that money is going to go to the attorneys, a little bit to the people that were addicted because of it, because this is the way it normally breaks out, right? And
yeah.
the bigger share is going to go to the Justice Department. And my complaint has always been with these big rewards that the Justice Department gets, you know, does that money go into the general fund? You know, and they go, no, that goes into the Justice, that's their slush fund.
Pretty horrifying, right? I mean, of course, that's what happened to the bank bailouts, and we're talking mm-hmm. hundreds of millions of dollars there. I mean, the bank fees and fines that came after, you know, the financial crisis. Look, I'm always reluctant to weigh in on a topic I have not done my own personal research on, and opioid addiction is one of those. I really haven't looked at the numbers, the categorization of patients and so forth and so on. I did note recently that one state put together a bill that allowed penalties on doctors and organizations that oversubscribe these painkillers. And it seems to me that's kind of where it has to start. It seems to me you can't have doctors on the take, which I think is what's happening, just doling out this stuff like candy.
I think you're right. Well, we got to go to break here right now, so let's hit the pause button. Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com. More from Liz right after this.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
At Humalife, we believe your health is your wealth. That's why we offer an exclusive, potent, and pure selection of OMRI-certified 100% organic humic and fulvic acid concentrates. These two acids stop viruses and harmful bacteria and increase frequency, vibration, and vitality. In fact, they're called the missing link to your health. Pure liquid organic ATP energy rebuilds and regrows the immune system. You are the doctor at Humalife. You know best because you are the test. Find out more at HumalifeUSA.com. That's HumalifeUSA.com.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, it's the way you like me. Fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Bill Martinez here. Liz Peek is with us, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Physical Times. I tell you, sometimes, Liz, I wish the people could hear what we're talking about when we're off the air. in between commercials, because it's just, you know, I really enjoy it when you come on. I appreciate your perspective and your knowledge. And they're getting great stuff when they hear us both on together here. And I wanted to get your read on this whole kerfuffle over Don Jr.
Well, look, I mean, this was a pretty stupid thing for Don Jr. to have done. I think a fourth grader would understand that you don't enthusiastically respond to an email from a Russian, supposedly a Russian-sourced operative. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, and I wrote an on-the-other-hand story yesterday for Fox, let's remember what was going on during the election, right?
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, it wasn't Trump and Russia we were talking about. It was Hillary Clinton and Russia, and for good reason, because Hillary Clinton had basically green-lighted the sale to a Russian state-linked company of America's uranium reserves, specifically a big interest in Uranium One, our biggest uranium source. Why was that? And by the way, in return, seemingly, that company gave millions of dollars to the Clinton Canadian Foundation affiliate. This all gets a little complicated, but basically, that Canadian affiliate of the Clinton Foundation was supposed to be just as transparent and above board as the regular Clinton Foundation. They were supposed to release and reveal all their donors, blah, blah, blah. Well, this one somehow didn't get revealed, and Hillary didn't quite remember to mention it to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. She basically took a big whopping fee donation to her family foundation in return, it appears, to greenlighting this sale of a strategic asset. And by the way, at the time, the Kremlin was desperate for uranium reserves because they were building nuclear power plants in Iran, North Korea, Russia, et cetera. So this is not a good story. And at the time, if I had been in Donald's shoes, Don Jr.'s shoes, and had gotten an email saying that Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton, I probably would have picked up the phone, because there was a lot of dirt. And, you know, by the way, Bill Clinton had been complicit in some dealings with Russians, too. So
he got a $500,000 speaking fee from a Russian bank.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That had a lot of ties to, guess who, Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
So this story, the story at the time, again, and people need to remember this because America's amnesia is profound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, basically, the big talk amongst Republicans was that Hillary Clinton had sold out the State Department. Even incredibly liberal organizations like the New Yorker and the New York Times ran pieces about the Clinton Foundation, the pay-to-play culture of the State Department, et cetera. I would just remind people, yes, it was kind of stupid for Don Jr. to do this and to take this meeting. I would have, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. And I think most people would agree with you, especially, you know, it's your father.
Yeah.
It's a relative. I mean, come on, so you'd go, okay, I'm checking this out. And to me, it would appear, Liz, after everything is all said and done, is this Russian attorney that supposedly had ties with Putin, and of course, to hear those on the left, it's as if that, she came straight out of Moscow. She had a directive from Putin to do this. It is all one of those things, like you say, it's you find yourself in a bucket of gum and thinking that, you know, was she some sort of Manchurian time bomb, some sort of human clickbait for Donald Trump that he got caught in this fishing expedition?
Yeah, maybe. But who cares?
Yeah.
Nothing came of it.
Right.
So, yes, it was a misstep by him. But I'd also remind people, one of the amazing things about Donald Trump winning this election was he had zero backup. I mean, this was a campaign on a shoestring. They had very few bodies, literally. I have some insight into this. I mean, I know a lot of people who worked for that campaign. You know, the Hillary Clinton campaign had offices and offices and hundreds of people engaged, having been kept on the hook by the Clinton Foundation, which is another story. But she had a huge phalanx of worker bees and lawyers and people taking these calls and these meetings. He did not. He had his family and about a dozen other people. So, you know, in a perfect world, this would have been given over to the lawyers and they would have questioned it and some underling, unimportant person would have taken the initial meeting. They didn't have that. So I'm not making excuses. I guess I am making excuses for what went on. I just really don't see it as a very big deal.
It's what's real, Liz. I mean, and put into this mix that you have somebody running for the highest office in the land with no experience of all the nuance. And I think that, you know, I don't think he realized that the Democratic Party and Barack Obama was willing to go to to such depths. And I'm talking about on the low side of depths, to support Hillary and to do everything they can. And I think we're still trying to find out some of these landmines that the administration left behind.
I mean, yes, I think that there's just been a lot of I've been, frankly, I'm sure you have too, been shocked and disappointed that literally since November 7, the day after Election Day, there has been nothing but bitterness, anger, dispute, hostility, etc. Donald Trump won the presidency fair and square, and the fact that he didn't win the popular vote is irrelevant. That's not how our system works. So the truth is, this morning, I think it was the Journal ran another story about just how Schumer is gumming up the works in the Senate. It becomes unpatriotic when we have people not in positions that are important, and there are a lot of those, where there are a lot of people ready to do the nation's business who cannot get through the fact that the Senate is using obscure rules to slow down the process. This is not helpful to the country, and I think at some point, you know, some Democrat somewhere has got to have a glimmer of kind of patriotism and say, you know what, we need to move forward. Let's get this business done.
Well, I keep thinking maybe it might be Joe Manchin. You know, he seems to be.
Yeah, but he needs to, right?
Yeah, but he just doesn't have a big enough voice. I mean, he's got the credibility, but, you know, is he willing to fall on his sword here? And but I think in much the same way, you know, comparatively, like the 50 Muslim leaders that came together to meet Trump, in Saudi Arabia, you know, would there be, you know, that kind of catalyst potentially on the Democratic side? Because for the sake of the country, if you're a true patriot, you know, you've got people who are hurting right now. They're looking at the health care situation. They're looking at, you know, wanting to get back to work, you know, and on the main issues that people chose Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton for. And they're going, what's going on? Because meanwhile, you know, as we keep saying on this show, Liz, we're still paying for this. We're paying for this incompetence. These people are still getting their health care. There's no sweat. Their paychecks still come in. And but meanwhile, Main Street America is going, well, what about my job? What about my paycheck? What about my health care?
What about my tax cut and all the other things? You know, I was just sitting here thinking about who. It's not just Schumer who's the problem. Let's face it. He's doing what we expected him to do.
Right.
It's the conservative wing of the Republican Party who has dug in, whether it's Rand Paul or Ted Cruz, and basically become almost as much of a problem or a speed bump for this White House as anybody else.
Well, and I think Mitch McConnell said it clearly. He said that if you don't vote for this health care plan that we're putting forth, then you're voting for Obamacare. Or maybe it was Rand Paul that said that.
I think Mitch McConnell, because Rand Paul is a no vote. And Maria Bartiromo pushed him this morning on her show on Fox Business to say, you know, what's the alternative? I mean, it's a little bit like people who used to say to me, I hate Hillary Clinton, I'm not going to vote for her, but I can't bring myself to vote for Donald Trump. Not voting for Donald Trump meant you were electing Hillary Clinton. It is black and white, folks. You either vote for the Senate bill or we have Obamacare.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
Your logo is your brand, your reputation. It's your most valuable asset. So what's the best thing to do with it? Give it away. When the experts at Fort Imprint put your logo on the right promotional products, giving those items away can make a lasting impression, empower your brand, and attract new customers. In fact, we'll prove it by revealing the top three promotional items for driving new customers absolutely free. Simply text the keyword ACT88 to 642642. We don't just print your logo. We're here to help you every step of the way. The 4imprint team can make your logo shine on your choice of thousands of promotional items, all delivered on time at great prices with free art assistance and outstanding customer service that's second to none. Want to turn your logo into profit? Give it away. Discover the top three promotional items for driving new customers absolutely free by texting ACT88 to 642642. That's ACT88 to 642642.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here.
Okay. There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez coming at you. We're so grateful for the 280-plus affiliates that we have around this country of ours that you can connect with. Also, Red State Alert Talk Radio that carries us every day on time. Yes, you got it. Live 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And around the world via shortwave as well coming at you. And you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information that you need to know. Our next guest comes to us live from Jerusalem, from Israel. Actually, he's in Shiloh, Israel, right? Is that where you're at, David?
I'm in Shiloh, yes.
Sir. Yes, exactly. He is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, founder and president of Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, established after he and his young son were wounded by Islamic terrorists. Reuben is the author of five books, including The Islamic Tsunami and Peace for Peace. David, Shalom, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Well, Shalom, Bill. Good to be with you.
Hey, 3 days, three terror attacks in Israel. What is going on?
Well, this all started with the first terrorist attack three days ago, which was when it was actually 4 days ago, but there were Muslim terrorists who attacked and killed two Israeli policemen. This happened on the Temple Mount, and they attacked and killed them with guns. And afterwards, Israel put in some metal detectors and other security devices, and the Muslims started rioting and threatening Israel. The Palestinian Authority cut off any security cooperation with Israel and has threatened Israel that things aren't going to be the same anymore, as if they've been peachy dandy.
Right.
So all of this happened as a result of that Islamic terrorist attack on the Temple Mount. And there have been two other terrorist attacks since then in consecutive days. One was in a community here in Samaria where a family was having its Friday night Sabbath meal, and a terrorist infiltrator barged into their house and started shooting at everyone and killing the two members of the family, and a third person was wounded. It was actually three people who were killed. It was, they were celebrating the birth of a grandson, and the grandfather was killed. The father was killed, and one of the aunts was killed.
Oh, my God. Well, David, I mean, first of all, let's go back on this shooting at the Temple Mount. This twisted reasoning here, perpetrated by radical Islamists who attack Israeli police officers, and they want to blame Israel for that? I mean, the Palestinians, well, I mean, how do they get there? How does their thinking go to where it's Israel's fault?
Well, don't try to be rational, Bill. That's,
okay, I'm sorry.
Get there.
Well, this is our Western thinking. You know, you were raised in New York. I mean, you always want to know why and how does this, but, you know, you've been conditioned by this. So this is why we need you here to help us understand this.
Yeah, but I live in the Wild West Bank, so to speak. Which of course should be called Samaria and Judea by its proper historical terms. But the fact is that where I live in the Middle East, it's a very bad neighborhood. We're surrounded by bad neighborhoods, so to speak, and we got a problem. We got a problem that we're dealing with a very different mentality. The Islamic mentality is not like the American mentality. It's not like the Canadian mentality, the European. It's a different head. Different head. We're not like the rest of the world here in the Middle East. And we're dealing with people that have different mentalities. So once you understand that, you can start to make some sense out of this. The reason, of course, why they don't want to have metal detectors at the entrance to the Temple Mount is because they want to be able to smuggle in weapons. And it doesn't mean that every one of these protesters at these Muslim rallies now are terrorists. Not everyone's a terrorist, but they all support the terrorists. Otherwise, they wouldn't be. Who would object to having metal detectors? Who would object to having extra security, except for maybe a few people here and there who don't have patience and don't want to stand on lines.
Do these people understand that this is what's going on, that they are supporting terrorists by doing this? Or are they, like even in the West here, where sometimes they support things out of ignorance?
Well, they're revealing themselves as accomplices to terror. That's what they're doing by protesting security a security apparatus that really would keep everyone safe.
Yeah, and it's a bit, and this is in contrast with what the IDF has done in terms of protecting people, whether you're Palestinian or Israeli, you are protected, and this is why, you know, even when I visited Israel a year and a half ago, the sense was even the Arabs and Palestinians felt a lot more comfortable in Israeli control. Controlled sectors, because they knew that whether it was the IDF or the Israeli police, they were on top of this. They were not going to allow rampant terror and craziness to take place. Now, is that still the case, David?
Well, of course it is. As individuals, of course they feel safer in the Israeli areas, and the. You know, those who are living in Israel, the Arabs who live in Israel, as opposed to the Arabs who live in the Arab countries, they feel much safer. They feel much safer in Israel. Not only do they feel much safer, but they have freedom of worship. They have freedom of speech. They have freedom of the press, which they don't have in any of the surrounding Muslim countries in the Middle East. And so that says a lot about the contrast between Israel and the Arab world.
But meanwhile, how they have been raised, though, David, is that they're antagonistic on the surface, or at least in maybe an inward. I mean, those that are operating in Israel controlled and safe areas, they're okay, on the surface they're going along, but you have this indoctrination that you and I talked about that happens almost from birth, and these other Palestinians and those that are wreaking havoc and involved in the intifadas, whether it's an auto intifada or a knife intifada, they're so brainwashed that I don't know how we get to yes when it comes to peace, for them realizing any kind of peace in Israel.
Well, the way you get to peace is through strength. Mm-hmm. Those who believe in freedom, those who believe in democracy, those who believe in freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, which in the Middle East, that's only Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel is the one that has to be strengthened, and if Israel is strong, then that's how you get to peace.
Exactly. Well, David, we got to pause it right here because we got to go to break. We'll be right back with the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, who's giving us a report direct from Israel, David Rubin, with us. More from David right after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
We're back with the America just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Conversation with the former mayor and author, David Rubin, is with us. David, remind everybody how they can be in touch with you, because, you know, I appreciate you being able to give us the time to give us an update on what's happening in Israel, especially here domestically. There's lots of distraction, whether it be North Korea, Russia, you know, Syria right now, and we're hearing so little about Israel. But there are important things that are taking place right now that we need to be aware of. And this is why I appreciate you giving us time. But remind everybody how they can be in touch with you and get their hands on your books.
Well, it's always best to go to the websites. And there are two websites that I want to bring people's attention to. One of them is davidrubinisrael.com. And that's for anybody who wants to know more about what I'm speaking about, wants to find out about spreading some truth about what's really happening in the Middle East and in the struggle against Islamic terrorism. They need to go to that website, davidrubinisrael.com, and they can find out about my books. They could find out about the Islamic tsunami. They could find out about Peace for Peace, Sparks from Zion, God, Israel, and Shiloh, my first book. They can get information about all the books at davidrubinisrael.com. And, of course, if they want to find out about the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, which is the organization that I started to heal the trauma of terror victim children in Israel, that website is ShilohIsraelChildren.org. That's ShilohIsraelChildren.org.
Well, to remind everybody, after 3 days of consecutive terror attacks and Muslim riots, Israel is on the brink of an explosion, with Israelis demanding a crackdown and the Muslim world pouring fuel on the fire, complaining about new security cameras on the Temple Mount. As you may be aware, David is giving us an idea of what this all means and what can be expected in the days ahead. David, as you told us, the Muslim world rather reactive to this increased security on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, I mean they're complaining, they're rioting, they're threatening diplomatic breaches, and threatening to break off whatever minimal relations there may be in the case of a country like Jordan. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible situation that what they're rioting about, what they're threatening about, what they're going crazy about, is what will keep every Israeli citizen safe, and every tourist safe, everyone who comes to the Temple Mount. You know, every tour group that mm-hmm. comes to Israel goes to the Temple Mount.
Exactly.
And the Temple Mount, for those people who don't know, is the place where the two holy temples once stood. And, you know, everyone has heard of King David, King Solomon. Those were the kings of Israel about some 2,500 years ago. And where did they reign? They reigned in the old city of Jerusalem. Yeah. And where was the center of worship? On the Temple Mount, the Holy Temple stood there. That's why it's called the Temple Mount. And so now we have a situation where the temple was destroyed about 2,000 years ago by the Romans, and the Muslims built a couple of mosques on the ruins of the Holy Temple, and they are demanding to have control on the Temple Mount, and that is the only rational explanation for them objecting to Israel putting security cameras there, because they don't want Israel to be doing any security, because they see it as a sign of Israel expanding its sovereignty over the Temple Mount. But of course, if the temples of Israel stood on the Temple Mount, well, and Israel controlled the Temple Mount for over 1,000 years, doesn't that mean that it belongs to Israel?
Yeah, you would think, without a doubt. And of course, didn't Israel control that after the Six-Day War?
Yes. Look, Israel still controls it officially. Mm-hmm. Israel still has security control and political control over the Temple Mount, but it has given the Jordanian Waqf, which is the religious authority from the Kingdom of Jordan, Israel has given them religious authority over the mosques on the Temple mm-hmm. Mount, but Israel still has authority over the Temple Mount.
And of course, alongside the perimeter, we have what is regarded as either the Wailing Wall or the Western Wall, right, where President Trump went to.
That's correct. The Western Wall is actually... Oh, and by the way, do you know why it's called the Wailing Wall?
Go ahead.
Yeah, wailing referring to crying, mm-hmm. to tears, and that's because for 2,000 years, all Jews who went to the Temple Mount would cry. Mm-hmm. Not Temple Mount, they went to the Western Wall, which is actually the retaining wall, mm-hmm. Western retaining wall of the Temple Mount. When Jews would go there, they would cry, because for 2,000 years we prayed facing Jerusalem and, you know, begging God to bring us back.
Yes.
And after almost 2,000 years, we're back.
Yeah.
And we've reclaimed our authority, reclaimed the sovereignty and the, you know, this divine inheritance that was given to us by the Almighty.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, David, all eyes in Israel are, especially in the Jewish community, particularly, are toward Mahmoud Abbas of the Palestinian Authority, who is responsible for this terrorism because he finances it. Even though he tells the international community he wants to swear up and down to President Trump and to Secretary of State Tillerson that he is being considered. That he's no longer paying terrorists and their terrorist families, but as most people are seeing, that basically it's sleight of hand. He's moving the money from one pocket to another. Do you still see that as the case?
Oh, sure. It hasn't changed a bit. Yes, sleight of hand is the word for it.
Mm-hmm.
He has moved the authority for paying the terrorists from one office to another office. And so it doesn't appear that it's coming from the Palestinian Authority. The money is still being paid to the terrorists. The terrorists who committed the terrorist attack on the Temple Mount are, their families are getting the support. And the terrorists that killed the family in Samaria,
mm-hmm.
They are getting support from the Palestinian Authority. They're getting financial support. And the terrorists who stabbed the 70-year-old man in near Tel Aviv the day after, who stabbed him in the neck,
mm-hmm.
They are also getting support from the Palestinian Authority. They and mind you, the Palestinian Authority is what they would call in America an equal opportunity employer.
Mm-hmm.
They pay terrorists who commit terrorist attacks against Israelis. It doesn't matter if they're from Hamas or from Fatah or from Hezbollah or from ISIS. They are all going to get support from the Palestinian Authority.
David, as we wrap things up, we've got about a minute or so left here. Summarize where we are from your perspective there on the ground in Israel. Where do we go from here? What does it look like a year, 5 years down the road, if I can ask you that?
Well, it depends on certain factors. I think that I could tell you for sure that what you are going to see is that the population, the Jewish population in Judea and Samaria, the biblical heartland of Israel, the so-called West Bank, the Jewish population is going to continue to grow, and it's going to grow substantially because of the high birth rate and because of the optimism and the desire of the Jews here to live in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to continue to grow, and as a result of that, the demands for Israel to declare its sovereignty over Judea and Samaria are also going to grow. And so that's going to happen. The terrorism from the Islamic side will continue. I don't see that stopping. Unless certain steps are taken by the Israeli government to do something about it. And I guess we could speak more about that
the next time, without a doubt. What about the U.S. Embassy being moved to Jerusalem? Are you seeing that anytime soon? Or is it something we continue to hope and pray for?
I'll be surprised. Of course, we're praying for it, but I'll be surprised if it happens anytime soon. I think that President Trump is under a lot of pressure from those who are afraid to make that move because they're afraid of what the Muslim countries will say or do.
Okay, we'll have to leave it right there. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. Make sure you check out his website, his direct website, davidrubinisrael.com, davidrubinisrael.com, and then the other one, shilohisraelchildren.org, shilohisraelchildren.org. David Rubin, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it, Brian.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Take care.
You've heard the phrase, go with your gut, but how can you go anywhere without better digestion, more comfortable joints and muscles, or just more energy? Chances are, we've already solved your problem. We are OneWorldWay.com. Yes, whey, the secret weapon of many bodybuilders that use it to sculpt a lean, muscular body, but not just ordinary whey supplements. At OneWorldWay.com, our energetically encoded whey is a totally new form of whey, one that's much more powerful with health benefits that are nothing short of amazing. Like helping to relieve muscle and joint pain, detoxification, improved intestinal elimination, muscle mass, sexual potency, blood sugar, energy, and mood. One World Whey is the only frequency encoded raw whey protein derived from Amish raised grass-fed cows for maximum potency. Call or click OneWorldWhey.com or 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Change your frequency and change your life with superpowered OneWorldWhey.com.